We continue the Shir Gemara. The Sechta Avos de Rabbi Nosson, one of these small Gemaras called the Sechta Kitanis, the small Gemaras. This one is based on Pirkei Avos, but much more in detail. And then on the second Perek of this Gemara, and continuing the topic we spoke about the last time, the mitzvah of Kedusha. Kedusha means Tikkun HaBris. A person has become himself, he purifies himself, he sanctifies himself, Tikkun HaBris, where even one with his own wife has that Kedusha of Pirishus when she is a leader. She is impure, there must be complete separation, because it is an Iser Chorus, Chas V'Shalom. The Gemara says there is a step still higher, still further. There is a mitzvah of Pirishus and Kedusha even with one's own wife, even when she is kosher. Though there are opinions in the Gemara, and there are always those who are very hasty to quote those opinions, that when a man gets married, it's like buying a piece of meat in the butcher store. The meat belongs to him, he can eat that meat cooked or broiled or any way he likes, fried. When he marries a woman, Mikudeshes Libet Beh Tabazu, marrying you with this money, this coin, this ring, and therefore you are mine to do with as I please. Of course, this is one opinion, actually. There's a second opinion, his wife, that many times is in conflict with this. But legally, though, there is this opinion stated in the Gemara that he has a right to deal with his wife as he pleases. We're not speaking about maltreatment, Chas V'Shalom. Speaking about relations with his wife as he pleases. This is one opinion, but the Gemara says too that there is a much higher opinion, a much higher degree of Kedusha, and that's what the Gemara speaks about now. The opinion of Pirishus Kedusha with one's wife even when she is kosher. To the extent, the Gemara says, that even when a person is in the street, he should not speak to his own wife, to his own sister, because a stranger might get the opinion that he doesn't know his relatives. Maybe this is not his wife, it's not his sister. He's speaking to a woman, or to a married woman. So therefore, the Gemara says, the mayor himself avoided speaking to his wife. The mayor's wife was the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, Ruya, most noteworthy woman of the age, of the era, yet he wouldn't speak to her in public because someone might get the wrong impression. And this din is actually mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. A person should at least try not to speak to his own wife in public. That sounds very strange. In fact, how many people would you say fulfill this halacha? We're lucky if we see a person speaking to his wife. I mean, people speak to other women in general. The answer is, of course, there are different degrees of Kedusha. The union of Tikkun HaBris, no two people in the world are alike. One higher, one more sanctified than the other. One at a much higher level. What we have to recognize here, at least, is this. At least. Remember, keep this point in mind, because this applies not just to Tikkun HaBris, but to every mitzvah in the Torah. A Jew must try to reach as high a level as he could in all mitzvahs. For not Tikkun HaBris. Let's say that he strives, he reaches a certain level, he doesn't go any further than that. Fine, so he's at the point where he's pure. He has no dealings, Chas V'Shalom, of any kind with other women. Just with his own wife when she's kosher, fine. But he doesn't reach the point where, let's say, he would abstain from any contact with his wife in the street, or to ever be seen with a woman because of the remote possibility that someone might suspect him of speaking to a stranger. He's not at that stage. At least, he's not at that stage. at least he should respect those who are, and not to mock them, not to sneer at them. This is the big tragedy of today. Because let's take, for example, the Neturei Karta. The Neturei Karta are one of the most malign sects of this era. Because of their opposition to certain things, and to certain items which are politically inclined, or without mentioning those items, the vast majority of Orthodox Jewry is against them. Yet the word Neturei Karta means those who are so-called ultra-Orthodox. Ultra-Orthodox. What does that consist of? It consists of primarily Tikkun HaBris. They mix into other things, sadly. But primarily, the Neturei Karta means Tikkun HaBris. And therefore you'll note that in their strange ways, they fight, they battle for tznius. That's above all else. Why did they pick on tznius? Because with them, Tikkun HaBris is above all else. With them, their wives think and feel like them. Their wives will not be seen on the street with most of them. The vast majority will not walk together, will not talk to. The wives themselves will not talk to the husbands in the street. And this, of course, brings about a ridicule on the part of others, Chas v'Shalom. This point that we must learn from these statements in the Gemara. If we cannot reach that madrega, because we cannot abstain from the normal pattern of life, our method, our mode of life requires, demands of us to be sociable to a degree, at least we should respect those who perform an act of self-sacrifice, complete self-sacrifice, dedication to the mitzvah, the kedusha of Tikkun HaBris. We should never be guilty of ridiculing or mocking those who are more religious than we are in something that is so outstanding. At least that much we should be zechut to. Now the Gemara says, to go a step further, there are cases where the judges are restricted. The judge is told, you must follow the law of the Torah. You must be strict when the Torah tells you to be strict. Be lenient when the Torah says to be lenient. But there are times when a judge can break a law, and he's commended for it. Zedek Fadish brings it to you. One of the Yehudas tells us there were cases where the judge was extra strict. A case where there was an act done by a man that was nowhere near punishable by death. It's a wrong act, but there's no death penalty. And the judge sentenced him to die, to kill, to take a human life. Why? Because of a siyog, asu siyog l'teda, build a fence around the teda. The judge noted that in that neighborhood, if this act would go unpunished, it could lead others, chas v'shalom, into committing a crime of this kind. Therefore, use capital punishment, even where it is not called for, in order to avoid the perpetration of this crime further. We can see now the Torah holds of capital punishment. And the Zayin HaKadosh says b'fedish that they commended, in Shabayach, they praised this judge. Yomar says that there was a case of a man and wife who showed, displayed open affection in public, and the man was flogged. He was given malchus. Why? Wife was kosher. What's so sinful about that? He was given malchus because the act itself might be permissible. It could be condoned. But the fact that it was done publicly, the fact that it could have an effect on a stranger, someone who observes this could get a bad thought, especially one who is not married, could get a bad thought or some kind of a wrong, perverse type of pleasure in watching this. And therefore, the Benazal says that a whole lifetime it's worth battling to die with one less hidhud battle the Yetzirah and go through a whole lifetime and have one less bad thought was worth the whole lifetime of battle against the Yetzirah. And here, a person is committing an act which could inject the possibility of a bad thought in someone else. Of course, the person could defend himself by saying, who asked him to look? Who asked him to have bad thoughts? Nobody asked him. But when you place temptation in front of somebody, it's very difficult for that person to pass this test. Who are you to tempt somebody? Who are you to place the opportunity for this person to sin? Because you've done that, therefore you merit this special punishment. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara and Lady Kodesh both say this. And therefore, the final word here is that siyog, create a siyog latera, build a fence to protect the kedusha, the holiness, the mitzvahs of the Torah, the word of Hashem. The Gemara goes on to show other cases of people who perform this act of siyog, building a fence around the Torah, adding a strength, a wall around their mitzvah. One of these was Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says he performed certain acts that he was not required to, went beyond the law to create this wall. We find that Aaron HaKohen and Miriam HaNeviah, his brother and sister, Matadabe, they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, Chas V'Shalom, which, speaking against Tzadik Emes, of course, even Miriam HaNeviah was punished with leprosy for it. Hashem punished her with leprosy because she dared to speak against Moshe Rabbeinu. What did they speak against? Pasuk says, "But Tabe and Miriam al Eides Isha Hakushis Asher Lokoch." About this Isha Kushis, which Moshe Rabbeinu had taken and now separated from, which means his wife Tzipora, whom he had married, and now he separated from her because he had become so close to the Shekhinah that he could no longer live with his wife. He was too pure, too holy to live with a woman, therefore he separated from his wife. Since now Hashem spoke to him, and Kaviyachol, he now had a new bride, the Shekhinah itself. They spoke and said, Hashem speaks to us also. We don't separate from our mates. Why should he separate from his? Hashem said to them, you dare to speak against Moshe Rabbeinu, Ho Besi Nebunho, my most trustworthy servant, to whom Hashem speaks per el per, kaviyocha, like one person speaks to another. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay here with me, which means you do not go back to your wife. You are now kaviyachol the baal, the ish elikim, the master of the Shekhinah. But exactly what did they say? What were the words said about Moshe Rabbeinu? The pasuk says, they spoke about the isha kushis asher lokoch. The name is Tzipora. What's the word Isha Kushis? Isha Kushis, the Gemara says, simply means a Kushis is a colored person, a black, a Negro, a Negress. And why is she called Kushis? The Gemara says, because a Negro's skin is different than that of a white. Now, the Jews are also called B'nai Kushim. Jews are also called Negroes by Hashem. Why? The Gemara says, not that Chas V'Shalom, they are given this insulting term, this derogatory term, but it means, just as the skin of a Negro is completely different than that of a white, so are the acts, the character of the Jews different than that of the rest of the nations in the world, but much purer. Tzipora was so different from all women on earth that just as a negress is different from a white. So this is a term used as an analogy, comparison. Therefore, the Farshim say, cursed be those people, accursed be those foul mouths and dare to open their mouths against Moshe Rabbeinu, against his wife, Tzipeda Tzadekis, who dared to call her Chas V'Sholom by this title, who defile and desecrate the Kedusha of the Torah, and who commit a sin for which there is no tshuva, a sin for which the Gemara says a person, no matter how great he is, loses his Gan Eden forever, goes to Gehenna forever, because he misinterprets the word of the Torah by calling, by saying that Moshe Rabbeinu married an actual Kushis Chas V'Sholom, that Tzipeda was such. There are people who say that. You'll find this articles written about this, but know that those people are Tomei Mitumo Mishukotsun. What then? Tzipeda was so different in what? Besides character and beauty. Asher HaKodesh, Asher HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh says, Isha HaKushis, HaKushis, Begimatriya, Yafas Mare, Yafas Mare, of extraordinary beauty. And this, in no way, Chas V'Sholom, means that black is beautiful. To the contrary, her beauty was such that it can only be found in one who was pure, different from all other women, just as the skin of black is different from the skin of white. So the complaint then was, why did Moshe Rabbeinu leave her? Why wasn't he content to stay with his wife? The answer given to them was that he now received special orders from Hashem. He didn't. He made the siyot. He left his wife, but it was something which Hashem condoned, Hashem consented to, Hashem advocated, Hashem confirmed the fact that his decision was a true one, a right one. Another point was, another interpretation of this is, given by the Shainim, the Hashbam, Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a history of 40 years, time which he was absent. At the age of 40, he left Egypt. He came back at the age of 80. Where was he for these 40 years? The answer is he traveled and went to the land of Cush, Ethiopia, land of the Negroes. He stayed there for 40 years' time. What did he do there for 40 years? He was very wise, very clever, very respected. Respected by whom? By the Negroes. Respected by the king. The king liked Moshe Rabbeinu so much. What do you think the king did? He offered Moshe Rabbeinu his daughter for a wife. Yes, a Cushis. An actual Cushis. The princess of Cush offered to Moshe Rabbeinu as a wife. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was in the sense a prisoner there, could not refuse. But did he marry her? Isha Kushis Asher Lokoch. Lokoch means engaged, engagement. No marriage. Between the engagement and the marriage, during the period of engagement, there is never, Chas V'Sholom, any physical contact whatsoever. So for 40 years, Moshe Rabbeinu was engaged to this princess of Cush, but never consummated the marriage. It was about this that the words were spoken against Moshe Rabbeinu. How come that he took this princess of Cush as a bride, as a fiancée, but never married her? This was their question. The answer is given by the Arizal, the HaKadosh. The HaKadosh says the person is reincarnated, he's reborn, he comes back to this world, there's always a tie with his former life. Moshe Rabbeinu had been on this world before. He was a reincarnation, a Gilgal of Hevel. He had lived before as Hevel. He had a brother, Cain. Cain had killed Hevel. Why did Cain kill Hevel? Out of jealousy. Because, as the Pasuk says, Kaya was born with a twin sister. There was a special permission granted at the time for a brother to marry a sister. There was no choice. Who else could he marry? He doesn't get married, have no further children with the end of the race, the human race. So Elam Chesed Yibona, Hashem permitted brother to marry sister. Then, only then. There were two brothers. Cain was born with a twin sister. And later, Hevel was born with two twin sisters. Hevel had an additional twin sister. This is what burnt up Cain, made Cain furious. Why? If I am the Bechel, I am the firstborn, I'm entitled to the Pishnayim, double portion. Why should Hevel have two wives, two twin sisters which become his wives, and Cain the Bechor, the firstborn, should have only one? So in jealousy, Cain killed Hevel and stole the extra twin sister. Which means that Hevel had an additional twin, which is called the Ta'imo Yeseda Shel Hevel, additional twin, which this murder was committed. Yisrael was the Gilgul of Cain. Yisrael, the father of Tzipora, came back at the same time, and Yisrael now returned that which he stole. He returned sister that belonged to, the bait that belonged to Hevel, Vita Yisrael as Tzipora Lameshet. He gave Tzipora to Meshet Rabbeinu, because he was giving him back his own. She prayed that as Begimat Fiyah Lemesha, she belonged to Mesha Beinah from before. But that's only one. So he married Tzipora. What about Hevel was supposed to have two? Therefore, because of the fact that in his first Gilgul, he had the extra, the Tema Yeseda, he had to go through the motions. He was forced to go through the motions. And to be married, to be mated, even partially, to one, as long as to the other. He spent 40 years with Tzipora, married to her, of course, very partially. He was separated most of the time. But in name, married to her, he spent 40 years, mated to, the Ta'ima Yeseda, the princess of Cush. Therefore, what do they speak about? El Ha'isho HaKushis Begimatria Ta'imo Yeseda. Additional twin, that was the Isha HaKushis. That's why he had to go back. He had to go to Cush, stay there for 40 years to fulfill that part of his life. This was one act of Meshe Rabbeinu. Second was the act where he broke the Luchas. He came down from the mountain, broke the tablets, Luchas, and the question is, of course, what right did he have to do that? What do you see in the Torah? A law, break Luchas. Break something which is not your property. Or is it your property? It's an act of Hashem. These Luchas were made by Hashem. By what right? By the right of Siog, to build a fence, protection around the Torah. Moshe went up to heaven, and there he found a host of angels who opposed him, who were willing to go to battle against him and to actually kill him. They fought him, they were ready to battle him, they fought him verbally, orally, and they complained to Hashem, we are angels. We are heavenly beings. What is this mortal, earthly mortal doing between us? Between us, who acts as a chitza, separation between Hashem and the angels. How did he get inside closer to Hashem than we angels ever get? Hashem said to Meshe Rabbeinu, I'll leave it to you to do battle with them. Defeat them, and the Torah is yours. Defeat them in argument. Prove your case. Of course, the Gemara tells how he proved his case. how he showed the angels that in theory only could they receive the Torah, but in practice it's impossible. Angels cannot perform these mitzvahs physically. Can an angel fulfill the mitzvah of honoring a father or mother? Can he fulfill the mitzvah of eating special foods on Yom Tovim? Or to fulfill the acts that are found? Remember the zecher, memory of being slaves and so on. So, because the Torah can be performed only by humans, therefore he went out. He went down from Har Sinai carrying these luchos, maaseh v'kim, the act of Hashem, filled with joy. Then he beheld the sight, the spectacle of the golden calf. When he saw this golden calf, then his thoughts immediately were for what? Immediately were for what? To defend whom? To defend the honor of the Torah which he was carrying? To defend the honor of Hashem? Or to defend the one on trial? To act as a defense lawyer for the Jews. His first thought was then not to rise up in anger, retribution against these sinners. First thought was then how to protect the Jews from being annihilated by the anger of Hashem. So his decision was, if I give the Jews these tablets, they become fully responsible for the law stated in it, and then this is signing their death warrant. Therefore, I will destroy the tablets, and they cannot be charged afterwards. At that moment, the 70 Zekanim, 70 elders of Sanhedrin, came forward. They saw his intention to destroy the tablets. They held on to the tablets, all 70. They held on to this with all their might, and they pulled. The Mishnah Rabbeinu pulled one way in this tug of war against each other. And finally he overpowered, he went out against all of them, and he smashed the tablets. Rabbi Akiva says, for espos baluchos, basically this is, I held on tightly to these tablets. How could he hold on to something? How could he rule over something which is not his doing? It wasn't his tablets to rule over. These were luchos of Hashem, tablets of Hashem. The answer is that he saw the letters soaring up to heaven. The tablets were left vacant, a vacuum. They were no longer the Kedusha of before. Letters were gone. There were no more words of Torah upon them. They were discounted. Therefore he felt, since they have not the Kedusha of previously, they now can be broken. The Gemara says, to cite an example. Case is an example of a king once said to his servant, go out and be me kaddish, get me a bride, give her kiddushin on my behalf. As a shaliach, one can send a messenger, be me kaddish, to make kiddushin with a woman. Be my shaliach, my messenger, to be me kaddish, a bride for me. Select for me a bride who is one of beauty inside and outside, who has character, who has purity. The shliach went, he saw one that would fit the description. He made the kiddushin, and then, in attempting before bringing her back to the king, she committed adultery. And the shliach said to himself, if I give this bride the ksuba, the marriage contract, then forget about the punishment that she'll get. The king will kill her, but that's the least worry. If he does not kill her, the fact is that she will become forbidden for him forever afterwards. Because once a woman commits adultery, she cannot live with a husband any time ever after this act. Therefore, he said, I will not give her the ksuba. What then will I do? I will first attempt to reason with her and make her repent. And never happen again, then I can give her the ksuba, she can go back. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He realized the danger. And if he gave the Jews the tablets, the luchais, this was the ksuba. With this they become kaviyachol, bride of Hashem. Then they are responsible. And then Hashem can put them to death. Death by Hashem means eternal death. The worst kind of death is that they can never again return to Hashem chas v'shalom. So he said, I will break the tablets now. I will work upon bringing the Jews to tshuva. Make them do tshuva. Once they have done tshuva, they become pure, I will get new tablets. I'll go back to the king and get a new contract. This was the motive that propelled Moshe Rabbeinu. Did he have a right to do that? He did it on his own. Was he right in doing something like that? It's a very serious decision. The answer is, let's see what Hashem said. Aluchais asher shibarta. The Gemara says, Yasher. Yasher koyach means, I bless you, you be strengthened. You did perfectly. Your act was one that is accepted by Hashem completely. Hashem consents to, agrees with this act. This was the act of a siyog, a fence, by Moshe Rabbeinu, building a fence himself. He made a fence around the mitzvah, which was completely justified, as we see by Hashem's statement. Next siyog, the Gemara says, was that of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, King Chizkiyahu, who, when he was ill, he was very ill, and Yeshayahu Nevi told him he was going to die of this illness. He asked the Nevi to leave. He turned his face to the wall, which means he turned his face to the walls of his heart. He poured out his heart in tefillah to Hashem. He davened to Hashem and said, Hashem, I ask you, I plead with you for a nefuah, cure me. Let me live. Give me life. On what grounds? On the grounds that I served you well. I did that which finds favor in your eyes. Hatoyv benecha sisi. What is that? Shagunaz sefer nefuahs. There was a book of cures, a medical journal, which listed all the medicines and all the cures for every type of illness. Real cures. And a long list of every type of medicine bought at any drugstore, every type of sickness, what's to be taken for it, the measure, the ingredients of each type of compound. And this, Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid. He hid it from the Jews. When a person became sick, instead of going to this book of medicine, what can he do? He had to turn to Tillim. He had to turn to cry to Hashem. Hashem, please help me, because there's nothing else. There's no alternative. Atayim beinecha asisi. Chizkiyahu HaMelech said to Hashem, even though you permit a doctor to serve, it's allowed. You're allowed to go to a doctor and have a doctor serve you. But what does Hashem really prefer? I tell you, Benach, Hashem really prefers that a person does not go to a doctor. A person has faith in Hashem and turns to Hashem. This Chizkiyahu HaMelech did. He hid this sefer nefuahs. This was a siyog. It was a daring act, going beyond the limits, beyond the requirement of the Torah. This act was condoned by Hashem, because on the basis of this act, Hashem said, I'm giving you new life, new years of life. You were supposed to die, but you did something that is so good, you deserve a new lease on life. Question is, Agav, this Sefer Nefuahs, this medical journal, it was not printed by the AMA, that's for sure. Who was the composer of this medical journal? Which doctor, which professor, which physiologist is the one that composed a book that contained cures for all types of illnesses. The Ramban says that this sefer was composed by Shlomo HaMelech. HaChacham Mikol Adam, he was the wisest of all men in every kind of chachma, so he knew physiology so well. He knew the entire physical structure, the inner tracts of a human being. He knew how they function and how they malfunction and with what type of herbs or combinations a sickness could be cured. He composed a sefer tefillos. He publicized this. Is the Ramban statement. Mishnah Melech says that in the ark, Benayach, there were a sampling of every kind of living creature to be saved from the flood. Even the spirit world had to come into the ark. In the ark there were also Shadim, spirits, Masikim, demons of all kinds. Imagine these Shadim living together with human beings. As they'd fly about, they would touch, or they would start with Noach and his sons. One touch of a part of these Shadim could be very damaging, could be crippling. So there were constant wounds by these Shadim inflicted on Noach and his family. They cried out for help. The Malach came down and borrowed one of Noach's sons, took him to Gan Eden, there taught him this book of cures. That's where the Sefer Refuahs came from. That's the reason why this book was so authentic, why it actually helped. Yet, as much as it helped, it also did a similar amount of harm, because people stopped resorting to tefillah, relying upon Hashem for help, but went straight to this book of medicine, knowing that a person is sick. You just use these medicines and he's cured. This was the great act of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who performed this siyog, this border around the Torah, to protect the emunah of Hashem and to strengthen the tefillah on the part of all Jews. The Gemara says that there were certain tzaddikim who started out life purer than others. This list we find those, again, purity, kedusha, refers to Tikkun HaBris. Tikkun HaBris means where the yesod of kedusha is perfect as can be. To illustrate this, at times a person is born into this world already with perfection. There are those, the Gemara says, who were born, who were nelad mohu, those who were born circumcised as a symbol that they possessed Tikkun HaBris. First one was Ma'aseh Hashem. The creation of Hashem himself, Adam Rishon, was created mohu, already mohu. Therefore, he was that pure that we see the Kedusha, the precious, 130 years he was able to absent himself from his wife when he performed the act of tshuva for what occurred during the day of his creation. Second after him was his son Shais, who came forth the rest of the world. Shais also was born Mohol. Then the 10th generation, Noach Ish Sadik, Tomim Hoyo, he was perfect at birth, also Mohol. Noach's son Shem was the fourth one. A total of 13 people were born Mohol. The fifth was Yaakov Avinu. Note that Avraham Avinu, first Jew, went through the mitzvah that was lesson for all Jews in the future. The act of bris, first mitzvah that a Jew performs. Yaakov Avinu, and Elo Telus Yaakov Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik was the next one. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, Atei Noisek Yitovu, the Gemara says he was perfect at birth. strangely too, Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha, who was the worst Rasha in the world, yet there was something about him which enabled him to hear the voice of Hashem. Hashem spoke to him. How could the voice of Hashem reach one who is so tummy? The answer is there was something about him that ultimately brought about his tikkun. In a later Gilgal, Bilam became Navol, actually to die as a Jew eventually. Shmuel HaNavi, David HaMelech, Gibeah HaNavi, Zerubbabel, and finally Eiv. Eiv, who was born Moho, because the Gemara says that Eiv displayed one of the greatest demonstrations of purity in Tikkun HaBris. Eiv's famous statement, where he said, "Bris korati li enai," I made a Tikkun HaBris with my eyes, that my eyes shall always be pure. More as Boidon al Basula, I will never set my eyes on a woman, even if she is not married. Why? Why will I refuse to look at a girl who is not married? Because I know, I fear, someday she will get married, and I will think about this girl I had seen. I'll be having thoughts about an Eishasish, a married woman, Chas V'Shalom. Therefore, I cannot ever dare to look even at an unmarried girl. This was the Kedusha, the purity of Eiv. This is why he was born Moho. Of course, this kind of purity is why the Gemara says so meidah. He was pure in every respect, and he merited the ultimate reward that was so great. These are the woman's that people, the Gemara says, that perform the act of Siogra Taira. They built this fence around mitzvahs. They were zechet to fulfill an additional act that was admired by heaven. We should be zechet too. Accept the mitzvahs of the Taira, Bekdusha, Betara, to fulfill them according to our ability and with the Iskashus, to the Tzadik Emes, receive the credit for this Yog of the Chachazal too. That's Chus we should see, the final Yog.